Hockey.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good. I was just catching that first period of the semifinal between the Czechs and Canadians over at the World Ice Hockey Championships.
I was doing the same.
That was fun. That was a fun period.
Really fun hockey.
Yeah, really, open. Really good hockey.
For,
yeah.
For open ice, like that much space on the ice and all that stuff, you know what people talk about? It was a good version of it.
Yeah, because sometimes it can be, you know, just kind of taking a little too long for scoring chances because guys are going to so many
open, and also,
you know, that's one thing about the NHL is like the blue line in is it's short, so you know you got to create things quickly. Whereas, like you said, the big ice sometimes it takes a little longer to set things up. But that was a pretty fast pace.
And everything in the perimeter on a big ice doesn't count, right? You can't score from there.
Yeah, no. You're, I mean, the blue line in, you still got a ways to go. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But I guess that's what happens when you got talent on the ice, though.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically all-star teams. They're not too far off from Olympic teams, you know, for the most part. So
this
yeah.
year, it's pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah, Canada's roster is ridiculous. Yeah,
I noticed that Taylor Hall can play with Crosby.
Yeah, you notice that, and you kind of, I guess if you're an Oilers fan, you're excited about that, because not that Taylor Hall is going to be playing with Crosby anytime soon in Edmonton, but he is going to be playing with a guy named Connor McDavid, who's pretty good. It's going to take him a little while to figure out the league, but he's going to be a damn good hockey player, a heck of a lot quicker than most guys coming into the league, and that's exactly the kind of player that Taylor Hall needs, right? Guy that plays with speed, with pace, has great vision, great passer, McDavid's all those things.
Yeah, it's interesting because they make it sound like it's very, very difficult to play with Crosby because they haven't been able to find anybody to really consistently be able to play with Crosby. And yet you look at him, you look at him in these tournaments and you're just like, I don't know, he doesn't seem to be having difficulties finding line mates here.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I didn't think of it that way, but yeah, you're absolutely right. It's always, you hear that a lot. It's hard to play with him. He doesn't have a lot of chemistry with a lot of guys. Kunitz there for a while. That sort of went away.
They died
at
off
the
this
end of
year,
this,
though.
Yeah, this season. They're always searching for wingers for him. He obviously makes everyone better, but yeah, you kind of watch them play Hall and Crosby these last few games over at the Worlds, and yeah, there's something there for sure.
Yeah. Let's go back to the NHL.
Yep.
Sanzi.
Yeah.
And then there were four.
Yeah.
Anaheim, Chicago, New York, Tampa. Let's start. Before we go into losers, let's go into predictions.
Okay.
Anaheim, Chicago, New York, Tampa.
Yeah.
Let's go out west. Everyone... am I hearing this? Are people actually picking Anaheim? Why are people choosing Anaheim? What's going on there?
I think
I'm hearing it's about a 60-40 split of what I'm hearing. That 60% are choosing Anaheim and 40% choosing Chicago. Is this a repeat of that Winnipeg Jets pick where you want Chicago to lose and people are just picking Anaheim thinking like they've got the best chance here. Let's pick them to win.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe people think Anaheim's due. I mean, they're playing incredibly well.
They haven't been tested, though.
But that's the thing. They've certainly, out of these four teams, they've had the easiest road to the conference final for sure. And, you know, they're a big team. They're
fun to watch.
They're a lot of fun. They're going to go out there and pound Chicago and, you know, play that big, bad kind of...
You got to catch Chicago, though.
You know, bruising kind of a style. So I think people are thinking that, you know, they play a similar game to the LA Kings,
true.
Maybe the Blues. But for me, I kind of sort of want skill, you know, to win out. And oh, so, definitely. Because I'm just sick of hearing that. You know, I'm sick of hearing like how bad the big bad Bruins were and the big LA Kings. And it's, you know, we tend to forget there's a lot of other teams that have won cups based on skill, you know, in Chicago.
It's been a while, though. It's been a while. Chicago is that team, but before Chicago, you know, no one else seems to be able to compete with the big brawn of Anaheim.
Yeah, well,
that's
the thing. Those teams weren't really there yet, right? I mean, when Pittsburgh won, it was skill. When Detroit won, it was skill.
True.
When Anaheim won in 2007, it was a bit of a mix, but there was a lot of skill there too. But you know, I think anytime you got, you know, Pronger on the blue line,
that's a pretty, is just a beast.
Yeah, I mean that's yeah.
He made Edmonton get to the Stanley Cup Finals that year.
Yeah, the year before that. Yeah.
Well, he didn't make them, but he gave Edmonton the opportunity
he cornered him in a room and he made them get there.
We're gonna do it this year.
Oh, okay, Mr. Pronger. Okay. So I think maybe that's it. Maybe there's a bit of destiny with the Ducks as well. I don't know. And like you said, maybe just a lot of people are thinking, hey, let's have someone new. You know, Chicago's been there, done that.
Definitely.
This is the fifth conference final in 7 years. But for me, I want Chicago. I don't like Anaheim, but I do think that
you don't like Anaheim because
why?
The style of hockey they play.
No. I don't like them.
You just don't like half the players on the team.
Yeah, exactly.
the way they play. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I got a lot of respect for the way they play. You know, Corey Perry is a very easy guy to dislike, but he's such a great hockey player. So is Getzlaf.
But man, is he greasy.
Kessler is totally and completely, not necessarily rejuvenated, but he's just doing exactly what they got him for, to just be that number two center and be dominant, and he's doing that.
He's back to Kessler circa Stanley Cup run Vancouver a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. He's playing so well, and he's clutch. He's so clutch.
Yep.
So it's a tough call. I guess people could be right picking Anaheim, but how do you go against Chicago?
Yeah.
I just don't know how you can. Then again, Anaheim, you're not the champ until you beat a champ, and Chicago is the champ out of those four.
Yeah.
The one to be taken down in order to get to the cup, and this is it for Anaheim. They do this, they should be getting the cup.
Yeah, I mean, this is it. You get that sense, right? I mean, whoever wins this is going all the way.
Unless for some reason an Eastern team matches uber well against a Western team here between those two, unless something happens in system or player personnel.
Yeah.
Apart from that odd chance of happening, it's gonna be Anaheim or Chicago as the Stanley Cup winner.
Well, Anaheim's sort of the odd man or the odd team out here, right? When you look at the style of play, you know, you've got three kind of fast, skilled teams. Anaheim's a skilled team too, but there's sort of a bigger kind of punishing style as well that they can throw at you, where Chicago can't do that. Rangers can, I guess, a little bit, but not really. And Tampa can't do that. You know, they don't play a big
The Rangers
game.
Did away with most of their toughness last year, right? Boyle's gone, right? They did away with most of their toughness. The Callahan.
Yeah, but whenever you got guys like Kreider, you know, and
true,
and
is that toughness though?
Well, it is a tough game for sure.
He plays a strong game. He plays a quick game.
Well, yeah, I don't mean going out there and gooning it up. I just mean being tough, like, you know, being
tough
hard
on the
bodies and on the puck, and
I don't know.
You know, I think Kreider certainly plays
tough,
that game.
Though.
But that's what I mean. Yeah, it's not that. So I don't
know.
But
I was gonna say between the three teams that you called the speedy teams or the more skilled teams. It's interesting because you're right. They are definitely speedy, skilled, especially Chicago, Tampa, New York in many ways. Some lines definitely.
Yeah.
The goaltending for sure. But they play three very, very different styles of hockey.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah.
They're completely different. Tampa, Chicago are closest. Chicago's got more talent, of course, more personnel to be able to get away with a lot more stuff in terms of style. But they all play three very different styles of hockey.
Yeah, they do.
Even though they're both.
And I'm pretty comfortable with this Final Four. I think we've got the best four teams in the league here. I really do. I mean, you had your Nashville.
Are you saying Montreal shouldn't be there?
Well, I don't think they were. I don't think they were the second best team in the East. I really think Tampa was.
Yeah, definitely.
I think their record. You know, they had a great record. They had 110 points. They were right there all year. They were right behind the Rangers. But you know, I mean, we know. We've talked about it. Everyone's talked about it. There's a huge price factor there. I think Tampa was a bit more consistent, a bit more of a.
And it's the youth team. The youth in Tampa coming through.
Yeah, that's the biggest.
The biggest difference.
Yeah, and they pretty much rebuilt that team, right? Within like 4 years, you know, because they were in the conference final against Boston not too long ago, and then Boston went on to win their cup.
So, different team this time around.
Well, it is different, but what I'm saying is that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. They've completely kind of rebuilt that team.
So let's look a little bit at New York Rangers Tampa series. So you're picking Chicago in the West.
Oh yeah.
I'll pick Chicago. Out East, though, tons of storylines.
Yep.
They've actually traded major assets, major players between each other last year, actually.
Captain for captain.
St. Louis. Yeah, captain. Yeah. St. Louis left Tampa, went to New York, traded for Callahan, of all players.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Boyle signs there. You've got all
Strahlman,
kinds of places.
Anton Strahlman.
Strahlman.
Went down there, yeah.
That's great. I mean, there's so many storylines there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you don't think I'm good enough? You don't think I should be playing for you?
Yeah, there could be some a bit of bad blood there. But I think, you know, with Strahlman and Boyle, I mean, they chose to leave. They weren't traded, right?
They couldn't fit under their cap, though.
So they went down there together.
They chose to leave, but they were also told, yeah, we can't fit you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
It also means you're not worth your price tag.
Yeah,
his Trauman was worth his price tag to New York. He'd still be in New York, and they would have fit him in.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't. They told him.
And it's crazy because he's such a good defenseman, so good,
especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's been fantastic.
So, who are you picking?
I think I got to go with the Rangers, just because I think, you know, they're a bit more on a mission. You know, as a team, I think, having been in the final last year, having lost, as fans, we sort of look at it and it doesn't seem that close, you know, when you lose in five games to the LA Kings. But there were a couple games in overtime.
Yeah.
And I think as players, they probably felt like, hey, you know, we were right there. And, you know, it wasn't that, it's not like we got smoked, right? You know, we were there, we had a good showing, and... And I think they just want to get back there, you know? And I think they're focused on that. And, I mean, let's face it, man. Their goaltender is just phenomenal.
He's playing so
phenomenal.
Well.
I mean, he's the best goaltender in the playoffs right now. He's the best goaltender in the league right now. Yeah, so, yeah.
So I got a question for you then. Between the two series, over, under, who goes longest?
Probably the New York-Tampa Bay one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More evenly matched, eh?
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I'm just staring at my computer screen looking at Chicago versus Anaheim. And man, I don't see how either one of those teams walks out of that series without a dogfight, you know?
So 5.5 games or under, over under for the New York Rangers Tampa Bay series.
Oh, over for sure.
Over for sure. At least six.
Oh, yeah.
And so, what about Anaheim-Chicago?
I think that's at least six, too. I just think...
So you're thinking like probably seven for New York, long series also. So seven for New York, Tampa, and you're thinking six for Anaheim-Chicago. Yeah,
probably something like that. Although I could easily see both these going seven.
That's insane. But that's great for hockey, though.
It's fantastic.
To have evenly matched teams, that will go long on a series...
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You don't want Calgary playing Anaheim in a second round, even though it was exciting in some ways because the youth was playing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, come on. Did we ever think Calgary had a chance ever in any game?
No, I don't think so. I think when they won that third game it was exciting, and you thought maybe they can sneak another one in there.
Yeah, maybe.
But
you were hoping.
But yeah, I mean, as far as the series, was that ever in doubt? No, absolutely not.
So let's talk about the LeMay teams. Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Great youth, a lot in the pipeline. They've got Bennett coming in as a second line centerman. I thought that guy couldn't do a pull up. You look at him on the ice; he's a pretty big dude. He's not tiny at all. He's not Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah, and he you know held his own in the playoffs. So yeah,
he held his own, but he was pushing guys off the puck. He was corralling the puck. He was protecting the puck. He played really well.
Yeah,
he
could.
For his first NHL games, his first few NHL games in his life.
Yeah.
He's a player, man.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, they've got a lot of good pieces there. I think for them, you know, there's probably a little bit of worry or maybe concern there that they might be the next Colorado Avalanche, where they just sort of take a dive after...
But with their coach? With Hartley?
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be a different guy now, and he seemed to really...
But he's also hard-ass, right?
Well, I think that's where he's a bit different. You know, we sort of heard that all playoffs long, where he was having these, you know, kind of heart-to-heart, one-on-one meetings with the guys. And CBC and TSN, everything you saw with him, he's skating around with his arms over their shoulder. And,
there's still accountability within his
team. For sure, yeah. But he's a much more of a communicator now, right?
What do you think happened to Wah then?
Well, I don't think it happened to Wall. I just think that team, as we know, last year was playing way above their heads, right?
True,
and that's exactly what happened to Calgary this year, and it's sort of, you know, the numbers sort of evened out this year for Colorado.
So you think on an advanced standpoint, it's bound to level out and it's bound to hit them next year.
Well, what I'm saying is I think there's some concern, you know, amongst fans and people around
though.
A little difference I was gonna mention
is the people running the show in Calgary player wise are youth, and they're just getting better, whereas in Colorado it's the Duchesne who has pretty much plateaued as a player. I mean, he's gonna get a little bit better, but he's not. And McKinnon dropped off. He's going to get better next year.
O'Reilly, but, Landeskog.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good pieces there too. And they have the better goaltender, you know.
But these are all players. Well, Varlamov played out of his head. It's kind of like Price this year.
Yeah.
But like these are all players that have reached their peak, that have reached their potential last year, and it's just it's not getting any better. Whereas Calgary, I think, this is nothing. Like Monahan and Gaudreau and Bennett, this is nothing, right? This is just the first step.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're certainly, you know, years ahead of where they thought they'd be, right? By making the playoffs and going on this little run, winning a round. So I don't know what you do there. I mean, getting Giordano back is huge. They've got a great blue line. They have a really good blue line. There's a lot of good pieces there.
They're right on par.
I think you stay the course. You know, you stay the course and you try to tighten up, you know, your play so, you know, you're not so behind in possession and being outshot and outchanced. And I think what you would want to see next year is the comebacks are fun, you know, and having a great third period is fun. But you probably want to see this team play more kind of, you know, complete 60-minute games, which is tough. I mean, that's a lot easier said than done. But you know, winning games.
Well, that's immature, right?
Yeah, and maybe closing out games in the third period rather than having to come from behind in the third period. That's probably something they want to improve on. But, yeah, you're right. I think they just maybe stay the course. They're doing some good things there.
And which brings me to the other eliminated team, the Washington Capitals.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting this year with the Washington Capitals being eliminated second round. It's the first time where you don't see or you don't hear about sell the house, break it up. It's the first time you hear this was a good playoff season. This, they've done everything they possibly could. They just lost out on a goal. It wasn't their fault. They didn't do anything wrong. Everyone played well, except for Green, who's going to be an FA.
Yeah, I mean, they did. Yeah, but I mean, they did have a 3-1 lead.
They did.
And you know.
But you don't see that overreaction of breaking the entire team apart this year.
Well, I think because now they know that they've got the coach that they need.
They do have a great coach. Man, did he coach his ass off this year.
Yeah, he was great for them. And they've got the goaltender that they need. And, you know, Ovechkin's sort of a different player. You know, you can tell that...
He played so well this year.
He was good. And I sort of hate hearing that kind of, oh, he didn't want to win before. I think he always wanted to win. It just, you have to learn how to do it. And he's learning how to do it, you know.
And I hate that he was like, well, he wasn't a team player. No, you know what he was trying to do? He was trying to score for the team. He was trying to do it by himself. Because he wasn't getting the puck. He wasn't getting the touches. You know, which he could always do before hitting the NHL.
Yeah, and when you saw him score that first goal in Game 7, you know, where they get the first goal, great play. And he just finds that open ice and he just goes right to it and just, you know, attacks Lundqvist and just shoots it over his glove. You just sort of had that feeling that, oh, wow, this is going to be Washington's night.
Yeah. And
that was it. You know, that was really it. So
it's too bad because you want him to win. You want him to do well because it's exciting for the NHL and it's exciting for hockey. You want more Ovi in the NHL.
Yeah, he's a fun player. Yeah.
Yeah, you want more of that personality running amok. Like, that's what you want.
Yep.
So for them, the big thing going on, they had some great news. Their goaltender, basically the playoffs was a coming out party for Holtby. He is now officially... If he can sustain this, but after these playoffs, he's officially a top tier goalie. He's not a number one, number two, but he's a top tier goalie. He's above average.
Oh, he's excellent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Way exactly. Above average. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I mean, right? You've got two types of goalies.
Yeah.
In the NHL. Well, you got three if you count Pavlik. But you've got that style goalie, Brodeur in his at the end of there's Brodeur in his heyday, and then there's Brodeur at the end of his career.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But you got basically three types of goalies. You got the top-tier goalie that can win you games on his own. You've got the guy who's going to make most of the saves most of the time, but will let in one bad goal. And you've got the guy who is basically a backup, but is playing. He's your starter right now. And he's become a top-tier goalie in the same breath as Lundqvist, as Price, as Rene. You know what I mean?
He could be. I think he's got to do it again.
One more year. But this was his coming out party.
For sure. And I think also next year they might want to, you know, not have this guy play every single hockey game. Because I think he played 72.
But that's what,
he played 72 games in the regular season.
He didn't look tired, though.
Nah, I mean, he didn't look tired. But still, I don't think you don't really want your goaltender to play that much.
That's what Brodeur did, though.
Yeah, but that was different. I mean, Brodeur is
Brodeur.
Legend, you know, and there were cups there, and it was a different team. And he also, he played 72 games, but when you factor in how much he actually played, you know, because there's not a whole lot of action in those trap years, you know, that probably works out to be like 60 games, you know. But no, I mean, also with Price, I mean, Price can do it, but you kind of, don't want your guys to play like 70, 72 games, you know? I mean, about 65 is a bit more, you know, manageable. In the long run, right? It's great now and maybe the next year and the next year, but, you know, if you want to ride this guy out as long as you can, like you certainly would want to do with Price, you don't want to burn him out too much, I don't think. You know, maybe from season to playoffs it doesn't make a huge difference, but I think, you know, from season to season to season... it all kind of adds up, right?
So that was Holtby's coming out party. Number two is what's going to happen next, right? They've got a bunch of UFAs.
Yeah.
Most of them not a big deal. Glenn Cross, so on and so forth. There's one, though. There's one that is sort of on the fence. Do you sign him again or don't? Green, you don't. But Ward,
Yeah.
Do you sign Ward up again? Because they're going to get close to be, they're going to be one of those teams that is going to be close to the cap and is going to start having some cap trouble if they start signing their own UFAs, even, let alone UFAs coming off the market.
Right.
So, what do you think? What do? Do you sign Ward?
He's a
beast in a playoff.
Yeah, though. I don't know what they have, you know, in the pipeline.
Well, other the pipeline is like out Kuznetsov, right now, right?
Those kind of guys.
Yeah.
Kuznetsov, right? Yeah, that's those right, guys that's right. are there now, right? He's up. And obviously different players. I'm just saying I'm not sure what else they've got coming up. But, yeah, maybe I think if you can get him, get a good contract, I think you do want to sign him. And like you said, maybe not for those, you know, 82 games during the regular season next year, but, you know, you would think that this is going to be a playoff team next year.
Oh, they definitely will.
And that's when you really want him. You know, he was fantastic for him. And especially that line, that line the last couple of games, the Chimera, Ward, and Kuznetsov line were a beast out there. They were fantastic. Kuznetsov playing
center.
Yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, that's where you're really going to miss Ward, you know, in that first, second round next year. So I think you do want to bring him back if you can. But who knows?
And Green, do you bring him back?
No, you don't, because
I wouldn't bring him back.
I think with Green, and also I don't know if Green, I mean, I know he says he wants to stay, but
yeah. Does
he really want to take that much of a paycheck or a pay cut?
So because he's going to be able to go somewhere. This playoffs, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's just not, you know, and the crazy thing is, he's 29 still, right? 29, 30.
But he's slow, and he looks like one of those guys that...
He got beat up real quick.
I don't think he takes care of himself as well as he should.
Yeah, maybe there's something to that. Yeah. But yeah, they're not going to bring him back. And I think also for him, as much as he wants to come back, maybe when he looks at what they can offer him, you know, for a third pairing defenseman, because that's where he's going to be, and where he can go to another team and get
what is that in a new NHL? A third pair, like if PK Subban brings in $9 million for a first pairing defenseman from now on, right? What's a third pairing defenseman? Because Petrie's coming up for Montreal, Green is going to be coming up. What is he worth now? Because right now he's making what, like 6 or 7? I forget.
I think it's 6.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, no cap geek, but it's.
By the way, cap geek.
Yeah, I heard there's something coming up though. Yeah.
But did you hear? Yeah. There's a new site coming up. But did you hear about Detroit, your team? They've renamed the rookie tournament trophy.
Yeah, after him. Yeah,
after the Capkey founder. Yeah.
Yeah, Matthew Weiss. Yeah,
I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, and then
which also made me think.
And
then
the bridge. They just named this bridge to Windsor, I think it is. Obviously, that goes to Canada. They just renamed that the Gordie Howe kind of international bridge or something.
That is true. Yeah.
So,
but I was just gonna say one of the things that I found interesting about Detroit naming their rookie tournament trophy after the Cap Geek founder was the fact that, well, I guess Holland was one of the sources that he had or someone in Detroit who has power was one of his sources, because why would you name your tournament trophy out? Like, they must have been close.
Well, I think, yeah, and he also, what did he do? He did, like, Detroit Central, or what was the website that he did?
He was a blogger. That's so, right. Yeah. He was a Detroit blogger for a long time.
So there's a connection there. And, you know, I mean, hey, they're not winning playoff games.
That's more than it was in Cap Geek. Yeah.
They're not winning playoff games. But yeah, I sort of like that Detroit's a pretty, you know, they're a pretty classy organization when it comes to that kind of stuff.
From what they're doing right now with Babcock, I mean, talk about class. They're taking class to another level. they're doing interviews with backup of what he's going to be doing.
I know, sitting next to
Holland. They're sitting.
It's so weird.
They're sitting
together. Weird. It's weird. I watched that and I was like, I've never really seen this before.
It's like best friends sitting together, supporting each other.
Yeah. So that's why a lot of people are saying, like, oh, he's staying. You know, you can't do that. You can't sit next to him and do that. But I have no idea. I think the one thing that
he's staying, but it does look like he's. Like,
it's weird.
Really, really close.
Well, they're good buddies, you know, they're tight, they got a great relationship. But I think if, you know, I know he's talked to Buffalo, I know he's talked to Toronto, Haaland hasn't said all the teams that have called and asked about him, asked for permission to talk to him. He hasn't said
which teams. I don't think he's teams. The one coming out with that information.
Yeah, and he hasn't said like which. So I don't know. All you know is for sure he's talked to Buffalo. For sure he's talked to Toronto. He has multiple offers. But, man, I think if all you got is you went out there and you talked to Toronto and Buffalo, then I think you got to come back. Yeah, I mean, those guys are years.
But that's not what he's done. And he's talked to Philly. Philly doesn't have a coach right now.
Well, there's no, that's not official that he's talked to Philly. Nothing is official.
Yeah. Nothing is official apart from Toronto and Buffalo. The only reason that's official is because Toronto is playing PR and they're saying like, yeah, we're doing everything we can to better our team, including getting Babcock.
Yeah, and then Damian Cox just tweeted out today, if Toronto, if they don't get Babcock or he ends up staying in Detroit, that they're going to go really hard after Blashill. And it's like, okay, I'm sure Ken Holland will give you permission for that. Get out of here. That's just not going
to
happen.
They go really hard. What does that mean?
I don't know. Call him. Can we talk to this guy? No? Okay.
Please. The last thing you want to do is go to a rebuilding team off the AHL.
Yeah, your first NHL coaching job, Toronto, and the rebuilding. Yeah, good luck with that.
It's exactly what that Toronto AHL coach did in Edmonton. What's his name?
Dallas Eakins.
It's exactly what he did. He was a superstar in the making, and he goes to Edmonton thinking he can... What an ego.
That's what I was just going to say. There's a lot of ego there. I don't think Blashill has that. Like, Blashill actually... requested that he actually said, I want to coach in the AHL one more year. I want to do this. So that was like a mutual agreement there that, like, you know, hey, let us figure out this Babcock thing. And he just said, hey, that's cool because I actually want to coach in the AHL one more year. Okay. Dallas Eakins, that was, you know, you got to wonder if he's going to land doing well, but, too.
Which brings us to the last eliminated team, my beloved Montreal Canadiens, who lost in six games to the Tampa Bay Lightnings, who would never have won the cup anyways. They're out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're out. They're done. They're burnt.
Yeah. So...
Carey Price is no longer available for comments.
Yeah, and I sort of, you know, I mean, obviously great guy, amazing player, you know, great guy, ultimate team player, kind of, you know, taking a bit of the blame or taking pretty much all the blame for that series.
Seriously?
But
true.
Yeah,
true,
exactly.
True,
I mean, yeah,
true.
Okay. You know, but you look
still,
at the numbers.
Come on, please.
Exactly. Well, exactly. I mean, he carried them all year, and you look at those numbers, and yeah, he was sort of eaten alive on the power play, just like the whole team. I think, what was it, even strength, his save percentage was like 944 or something I was reading. So,
but people keep quoting the overall save percentage, which is
well, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, it doesn't look great. It's not great when you look at it on the surface, but yeah.
They made it sound as if Bishop outplayed him. Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. Do you seriously believe Bishop outplayed Carey Price in that series?
I think he outplayed him in that final game, in Game 6. But
he outplayed him in that final game.
But in the series,
six,
no,
yes.
Absolutely not. No way.
No, not even close.
Yeah. So, of course, you know, now you're just going to look back and look at this team, and now everyone's going to say it. You know, leading, it's so funny. Like, leading up into Game 6, it's like, you know, all you hear from anyone in the media is like, oh, come on. Carey Price is a part of the team. Isn't he a part of the team? So he makes the team better. It's not just all Carey Price, it's the team. Yeah, and then all of a sudden when they lose, it's like, well, we all knew that Carey Price was carrying them the whole time. Yeah. You know, and they weren't really that great of a team or that complete of a team. I don't know. I mean, what do you think? Because, I mean, as an outsider, I think anyone can look at this team and say, you sort of have that, you know, trifecta going on. You've got the goaltender, you've got the defenseman, you've got Pacioretty, but...
No, but that's...
But where's your
that's
center?
Not,
where's
that's
your
where
center?
The trifecta ends. You need the trifecta. You need the goaltender. You need the number one defenseman. But you need a number one center.
Yeah, and that's what you don't
have. Not a
number
one left winger.
Right. Well, exactly, yeah.
Or
yeah.
a number one right winger. You don't need a winger. You need a number one centerman.
Yeah.
And they don't have that. They haven't had that in ages. I don't know when the last time they had that. Vincent Danfous? was the last number one centerman they had? I don't know. They haven't been able, they've been looking for number one centerman for a generation of fans. And now we're hearing Bergevin in his exit interview crying about
the presser.
There's not a number one centerman available. We have to develop him. Galchenyuk is supposed to be him, but he's dropping a ball. He's probably going to be a left winger. He's not going to be a number one centerman as we expected when we drafted him. Because Therrien can't play him as a number one centerman because he's going to make mistakes and Therrien is trying to win every single game.
Yeah.
That's basically what he said. He's like, Therrien is looking at his team as a now team. He needs to win now. Bergeron is looking at his team as a five-year plan.
Yeah.
But he's got a coach who's looking at it as a now team. So something's not working there. Mm. And it's just not computing, right? You're trying to develop these players into players that will fill roles within the team, but you can't afford to do it because you have to win right now, according to Therrien.
Mm.
So he won't allow Galchenyuk to make any mistake in a game. If he does, he's out. He's back to left wing. Hide him, protect him. No one develops by not...
Yeah, I mean, how are you going to get better? Yeah, how is he going to become a number one center if he's not able to do that, right?
But Therrien feels like his job's on the line, and it probably is. And he needs to win now. And he gets over 100 points, insane amount of points this year. And he's gotten an insane amount of points in this version of Therrien with the Habs.
Mm.
He's gotten an insane amount of points in the past 2-3 years, whatever he's been on.
They're not getting better, good goalie, good coach thing, right?
They're not getting better. That's my problem with this team right now. They're not getting better. They're a team that's hitting the second round, perhaps the third round, even the Stanley Cup Finals, if they're lucky in terms of matchups. But they're not a team that is competing with the LA Kings, who didn't make the playoffs, the Chicago Blackhawks, right?
Mm.
They're not a top-tier team. They're not even close to being a top-tier team because they're not willing to go through a few mistakes.
Yeah.
It's just, it baffles me. It makes sense in some ways, but it also baffles me because Berger has no problems attacking media. When the media came up to him and said, hey, Babcock is available, wouldn't backup look good in a Habs jersey? Wouldn't backup look good behind the Habs bench?
I don't think Babcock would look good in a Habs jersey.
No, not in a Habs jersey, but behind
the
Habs bench.
I think you want to try to re-sign Petrie
before that. He flipped out on the media. He basically told him, tell me, who in this room doesn't think Terry is a good coach? Who's going to get up? Who's going to stand up to that?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, your job's on the line. You want that out of your GM to stick up for your guys, stick up for your team, your coach.
But like, you should be coming out and telling the media on day one that what we're trying to do here is develop these players. What we want Terry to do is not win 100 semi, not get 100 points in a season.
110
we want
points,
him to 110 points is we want him to make the playoffs. But we want these players to get better. That's what we want out of them. That's what we're looking out of them.
Yeah, so whatever, 7th, 8th seed, whatever.
That's what we want.
You'll take that over the 110 points because it means that, you know, there were some mistakes growing pains made, there.
Growing
but
pains,
you know what?
Galchenyuk
is becoming closer and closer to that center that you need. Yeah.
Exactly. But what's happening instead is they're just telling Galchenyuk, dude, figure it out. Figure it out now.
And it's crazy because he's far outscored anyone in his draft class.
Not far outscored Yakupov, who's in basically the same boat as he is.
Well, I mean points. I think they have. I think Yakupov and Galchenyuk have the same amount of goals. But I was just actually looking at HockeyDB the other day. And I think, yeah, points wise, he's way up there. I think he's got like 40 more points.
Yeah.
But yeah, goals.
He's the best player in that draft class.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, look, maybe you give Forsberg another season or two, and that gap between Galchenyuk and Forsberg isn't going to be so big either. True. But he's, you know.
I just think the way they're playing the media, the way they're trying to deal with the media, it's kind of like a bit of a rookie move. Like, just tell them the truth. Tell them what you're trying to do. Give them information.
Yeah. Well, do they not do that? I mean, don't they demand that in Montreal?
No, they try to play each other all the time. Mm. Because the media is hounding. It's like Toronto media. They're hounding you for information at all times. So you're always trying to get that message across, and you're always trying to make sure that you're protecting your players, you're protecting your coach. But they don't seem to understand that the best way to do that is just to say, this is what we're trying to do, and this is where we're planning on being at this stage. Mm. All they're saying is, oh, we're ahead of the curve. We weren't supposed to be in the conference finals last year. We weren't supposed to be in the second round this year. Right now, everybody thinks the Habs should be winning a Stanley Cup within the next year or two.
Yeah.
The fans, the media. And if they're not, heads are going to start rolling.
Mm.
And instead of just telling them straight up, they just don't think... The problem with telling the media straight up what you're going to be doing is you're putting yourself on the line. You're saying, like, in 5 years, this is going to work. And then if in 5 years it doesn't work because X player didn't work out, because X player doesn't understand the concepts the way you laid them out, then your job is on the line.
Yeah.
So instead of putting your head on the cutting board, you're just living in this ambiguity, and you're just trying to make sure that you have a job 5-6 years down the road. But it doesn't work that way. They'll always be in the NHL. They have to believe that. But they just, it's not a job that you can keep forever. It will never be forever. The Sam Pollocks are gone. That job will never be forever. So just try to do the best you can in the time you have. If you win a cup, then you've got more of a chance. Look at Chicago right now. Quenneville, supposedly, everybody in Chicago on the administrative side of things hates him, but he keeps winning. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And same things on your side, right? Stan Bowman, his crossroads is coming up fairly soon. And we'll see what happens with him at that time. You just got to lay yourself out. You just got to give her. And they're not doing that in Montreal. They haven't done that in forever.
Well, they still got, you know, but I think Bergevin has also said we're kind of ahead of where we thought we'd be, right?
But nobody knows what that means.
Yeah, well, again, I mean, that's what I... When you told me that, too, I sort of felt like you could say that to say, you know, as a strategic sort of thing to say that, you know, because you could just say, hey, you know, we're good now, we're ahead of where we need to be or where we thought we'd be. It just buys you time, right?
That's all they try to do. That's all they're trying to do is buy time all the time. Mm. I just think if you want to deal with Montreal media or Toronto media, Canadian media in terms of hockey, just tell them what you're trying to do. Like Burke did that when he first came in, but he didn't do what he set himself out to be.
Mm.
He tried to accelerate his plan by going deep into Kessel. He went against his own self, his own ideas.
Yeah.
And it just looked bad on him because he screwed up. But if he had just stayed the course, tell me Toronto wouldn't be great right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know with that team because you just don't know. I mean, yeah, and it's easy to say because you can go to Calgary and see there's some success there. But I think, you know, before Burke, you had Jay Feaster there in Calgary. So,
that's not Berkey's team.
That's what I mean. So, I mean, it's you know. Yeah, but
the point anyway, is Montreal is not as good as they think they are.
So you got to get a number one
centerman. Yeah. They need a number one centerman in the worst way, and it's going to cost them Plekanec. And as soon as they do away with Plekanec, then they're going to need depth, and they're just not going to have depth.
Mm.
And the worst thing that can happen is that they go out and acquire a number one centerman, and this dude is great for 1 or 2 years, and he's done because he's an older player like a Joey Thornton. Like, Joe Thornton would look amazing in a Habs uniform. He would do well. Mm-hmm. He would play well, and he would be great. But give him 2 years, and he's no longer Joe Thornton.
Yeah.
And they've
done away with... Yeah, that's very limited. Joe Thornton's sort of the last piece you add at this point in his career, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't really... Yeah, sort of build around that right now.
So
what about Petrie? You guys going to re-sign Petrie, you think?
The thing about Petrie is, so right now they have Markov signed, they have Bullier, Tenorti's coming up, Patterson's coming up, they've got Subban. We're already talking about 5 defensemen that are signed. Gilbert is already signed, 6.
Right, yeah.
So signing Petrie pushes people down, fine. Do they need him? For sure. He'd look great in a Wings uniform. They're going to pay him a bunch of money. I don't know if he's going to work out in the Wings uniform, because he didn't work out in Edmonton. And he's the type of player that needs to be on the right team, right, in order to succeed.
Mm.
He's worked out in Montreal. If I were him, if I were his agent, I'd be telling him, take a pay cut, take a little haircut, get to Montreal. You're doing well. Keep going that way. Make your money. You're making enough money. If you make an extra $500 here, $500 there, yeah, it's a lot of money for us. But I just think you want to be more. The more successful you are, the better, the happier you're going to be. So I would stay in Montreal if I were him, and take a little haircut, not a drastic haircut, and he slot himself into the top 4. He's a good player on Montreal. I don't know if he's a good player in every team. He's not. He's a good first pass.
Yeah,
they should sign him. They could.
Yeah, he was good for them in the playoffs too. You know,
it just what does it mean, right? And he came into his own in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. You know.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's so many more things to worry about in Montreal. What's that?
There's so many more things to worry about in Montreal.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Their top 6 is horrendous. It's actually horrendous. It actually is. It's actually horrendous. There's Pacioretty, and after Pacioretty, there's a very good Plekanecs. But there's nothing else there right now.
No Gallagher. No love for Gallagher.
Gallagher is great, but tell me he's a number one right winger on any other team.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. That's
you know,
true.
I love Yusuf Gallagher. As a fan, I love him. I really enjoy watching him. But tell me he's a number one centerman, a number one right winger on any other team. Your number one right winger is a top-notch scoring winger.
Yep.
Apart from that, I mean, Gallagher's all love, man. He's all heart. But come on. Come on. He's not a number one right winger, and he's a number one right winger in Montreal. It's just there's nothing working right now. There's no depth in the top 6.
So they got some work to do. So what do you think they end up next year? Like in the standings in the Atlantic, you think they win the Atlantic again? They end up top 2, 3? What happens
if
there?
The thing about what's going on right now and with Terry at the helm, they're doing well on paper. They're doing well on paper in terms of stats, standing stats, not advanced stats, but standing stats for sure. Because they play a defensive first game, they clog up, they do well in an 82-game season, they'll make the playoffs. And when I say they need help in top 6, what I mean is they need help in terms of I was going to say quality, but what I mean is talent. Right? They do have people there that can fill the void in short spurts, but they don't have any top 6 wingers. It's definitely not top three players, forwards.
Yeah. Okay.
They're strong on D though. If Markov can come back, like forget about this playoffs, but come back to his 82 regular season game, he's fine. He's great. He's amazing. And Subban's just getting better. Subban is a rock star. Subban is their number one outside of Carey Price rock star player. And apart from that, I mean, Bullier is doing well. The kids are coming up. They're doing well. But in the top six, man, forget about it.